I think if we're honest, we know that there's lots of times in our lives when we are looking like or acting like we want something more than Him. We're chasing after a lot of the things that the world has to offer. None of it satisfies. None of it brings us to peace. The only thing that brings us peace is Jesus. The only thing that gives us a hope. You know, otherwise, there's just not a lot of meaning in this life apart from Jesus Christ. Apart from the one who created you and who made you and who has restored you, it's all hinging on Jesus. And He is who we're here to praise. We're here to lift Him up. Amen? Good. Thank you, God, for being here. Thank you for your presence, Lord. We just want to worship you and just experience the movement of your Spirit here right now. And that you guard our hearts, you protect our hearts, you forgive us. You're all we need. We want to lift you up. We want to be a grateful people. We have so much to thank you for, and yet so often we neglect to do that. We want to be thankful today, and that our worship will be just riding on the wave of gratitude today. Thank you that we have the freedom to worship you and to meet here, and we can lift up your name. You are a great and mighty King. There is no one like you, Jesus. There is no one who compares to you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, got a couple things that we want to just kind of inform you of today. And so, Alvin, I'm going to ask you to come up first. I'm going to tell a little bit about one of the new kind of healing ministries that we're really praying about and want to inform you about this so you can hear more about it and get excited about it. We need to be praying together about ways of helping people and bringing deliverance to people who are struggling with the stuff that constricts them in their lives.
Amen. So beginning tomorrow night, we're going to be doing a Katie Sosa ministry here. We're going to tap into the resources there. And myself and Kim, and Kim's going to come up here and just share a bit more in depth on that. But many of us here, and I was one of them, and still there's still a lot of stuff in me. I had a lot of things that had happened to me when I was younger. And one of the things, I was 7 years old, I believe, and I ended up having a spirit of shame released over me, and I held on to that thing for 40 years. For 40 years, I held on to that thing. I hung on to it because I was ignorant. Many of us here are ignorant of how the enemy works, and he's put things on you. He's put fears, all kinds of addictions, and all kinds of stuff in your life, and God wants to release you from those things. Amen. God wants you to walk in victory. God, you're just, some of us are just scraping by. I mean, the salvation of Jesus Christ is so powerful and so fulfilling, and yet we just tap into just an inkling of the resources of Jesus Christ and His gift of salvation to all of us. Amen. So we're going to have these services. I believe they're 16 weeks. 16 sessions anyway, so we'll do one a week, basically, and I'll let Kim fill you in more on that. But I tell you, I encourage us, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to rise up for a time such as this. As the world's getting darker out there, and it's not going to get brighter, amen? And so the Christians, the called out ones, need to rise up, amen? And I tell you, God will pour in His Spirit into your life. He'll change you. He'll change you. He'll change your life completely. Hallelujah. If He can do it for me, He can do it for you. Amen? He's delivered me from alcohol, all kinds of garbage. And He can do it for you guys. God does not want you to walk in a heaviness and a cloud and just like, oh man, I'm just going to make it and I'm just going to make it into heaven. Man alive, the resources are just overwhelming. So that's, we hinder the work of God by making the salvation, the gift of God, so small. Amen? But I believe this ministry is going to open up your eyes. Amen? Going to set you free. Amen? Kim, why don't you come up?
Good morning, my wonderful family. It's good to be here. So I've been going through the sessions. Katie Sosa has an amazing testimony. She was on the streets. She cooked dope, she sold dope, and she did dope. That's what she says. And so she is just, you would, looking at her, you'd never ever think that she would be somebody who was on the streets doing that kind of stuff. And so she has an amazing, so her past proves of what God can do, because she is the, you know, the head of this wonderful ministry that goes into jails all over the states and get them healed before they go back into society. So it's an amazing ministry. And so I've been going through the process of getting ready so that I'm able to facilitate and helping with this ministry here at this church. So it's not about Katie Souza. Just let's get that straight. This is about Jesus and what Jesus has done for us and wants to open us up for us. And so she talks about excellence of soul. And so even the words, and she goes by the word. I'm just going to stress that. So the word says that we need to work out our salvation and that we need sanctification. So we're made up of mind, body, and spirit. Sorry, mind, soul, and spirit. And so when we come to the Lord and we have that born-again experience, our spirit is made brand new, right? But then we have our soul, and that's what Paul talked about sanctification, and what Pastor was preaching about, how we were once in the country of sin, speaking that language and with that accent, and when we're in the country of grace now, that Jesus has put us in, we can still live like we were in the old country, right? And so that's working out and healing of the soul and just letting your soul catch up with your spirit. And so this is a ministry that, you know, bitterness and unforgiveness can hinder us, as we all know, right? And so it just brings you into a place where you can just let the Holy Spirit work on your heart and make your heart whole, so that your whole being can just be one, like Jesus walked on this earth, right? And so I'm really encouraged. And so if you want to come, it's Monday at 6:30, and I'm assuming to 8:30, I think we decided. So there'll be a time of worship and a time of fellowship and just a time of healing together. It's not about, you know, someone having more knowledge than the other. Let's do this together, because I know that I need it. And God, you know, me listening to and learning about it the last couple of weeks, I was really under a heavy depression. And I applied the word that she taught, and I just feel so light, and I feel so just refreshed. I feel excellence of soul, and I declare that over every one of you in Jesus' name, that you will have excellence of soul, and you will walk in victory. So I welcome you guys to come.
Amen. Thank you.
The Tuesday night Bible study is finally starting up again. We took kind of a long break. So you're sure welcome to come. We're still in our grace book. We're studying a grace book by Max Lucado. And we're on chapter 7, where it says, coming clean with God. That's what it is, coming clean with God. And so I just invite you, if you don't have a book, that's fine. Come anyway. We'll share. We like to share. And it's a good time. It's a good time because we need to gather. We need to be vulnerable with each other. We need to hear what God has to say for our daily lives. So you're welcome to come. It's at Convent Park. Convent Park. Where is that, Stan? 5160th Street. And we start at 7, and we go to about 8:30 as well. So welcome.
All right. That's good. Lots of things are starting up. And that women's Bible study is just one of the great things that are going on, a great way to encourage each other. And if you don't know exactly where it is or you want to know more details, you can talk to Crystal. She'll be around after the service as well. I was serious about what I said earlier, that we need to be grateful people. And that really, that's the heart of worship, that worship needs to ride on that wave of gratitude. And so for just a bit this morning, I want to think about the things that you are thankful for. What has God been doing in your life? What is the reason why you are joyful? You know, why? What are some of the examples of God's faithfulness? And we're going to spend a little time this morning just sharing what we're grateful for. And like I always do, I'm going to just say it again. This doesn't mean that you need to tell us the whole story. We don't have time for the whole story. But tell us what the reason is. What's the subject of your gratitude? What has God done in your life? And maybe Brian, you'll take that mic from the back. And we want to have a whole lot of time here, or a lot of opportunities here for people to share their gratitude. So we're going to give people, lots of people, a chance to do that. What has God been doing in your life? How do you know that he loves you? What prayers has he been answering? How faithful is he? Who wants to testify about that? Leanne.
Well, I have many, many things to be grateful for, and I could, take the whole service. But when we were singing the old rugged cross, I mean, when I was a teenager and not yet saved, my boyfriend's mother obviously was probably praying for me, and she took me to volunteer in an old age home, and I remember we sang that song. And it, you know, they say before you become a Christian, there's many seeds that are planted in your heart before the harvest. And I just saw the expression on the elderly's faces, how their hearts were just touched by that song. And I was weeping as we were singing, and I was thinking how thankful I was for Mrs. Dickey that took me under her wing and brought me to church occasionally and brought me to volunteer at this old age home. And I really think, you know, that was one of the things that just drew me to the Lord, and the old rugged cross. So that song will forever have meaning for me. Thanks for letting me share.
Amen. Someone else.
For those of you who don't know me, my name's Scott Murray. Originally, I wasn't even going to be here. I was supposed to be in Mozambique this fall working with Iris Ministries, but a lot of circumstances happened, and I didn't get to go. And I thought, well, Lord, this really sucks. This is a bummer. And because I want to be used. I need to do something. But then some other things were supposed to happen here, but they didn't quite happen either. So I ended up with Frank here at a barbecue last night. And just, I'm so thankful because God was able to use us to win somebody to Jesus last night. And you know, so I'm going, wow, okay, what started out as a bummer is now a blessing. And I am truly grateful for that. Amen. Amen.
There we go. How do we thank God? That's awesome. Thank you. Someone else. Yeah, give him a hand. Give praise to God. Karen.
Well, I want to thank God for what the healing power that he gives. I was stricken with a sciatic nerve problem and laid in bed, laid on the couch, couldn't move. And through power of prayer and the help of a wonderful chiropractor, I am healed.
God uses all kinds of ways. Amen. All right. Thank you, God. Why don't you, start with, there we go. Sunny.
Hi, good morning. A lot of you people know already that my mother passed away on June 25th. She was 95. And I'm left with, the grieving is so low-key right now. And I know more will come because I'm human too. But my gratitude lies in, I'm 66 years old and she was 95. In the last year and a half, we healed some really deep, deep, painful issues from her childhood, as well as mine, and I was able to be there for her as a friend. She was able to be there for me as a mother for the first time because I was mothering her most of my life. So it was the most intense and blessed gift. So don't give up for reconciliation, all you mothers and daughters, because it can happen. Hopefully not that late for you guys, but...
It's amazing that you just said that. For those of you who know that Sasha and I have struggled for years and years as mother and daughter, her dad has stepped up to the plate and has taken her And it's been a very hard decision, but it needed to take place. He has a firmer hand, and every little girl needs their dad. Doesn't mean that it's easy on me, but what I'm thankful for is Christ has let me sit in his lap and cry, and he's just given me such an overwhelming peace, and just has brought peace to the home. And so I believe that God is just going to continue to heal this relationship. She calls me every night when she's done her homework, and she just cries, and I just tell her, Mommy loves you, and you need to be with your dad right now. And I just truly believe that this is God working. I don't know how he's going to heal this relationship, but he will. And just keep praying for her. Another good thing is James wants to get baptized on... And we were talking about asking Jesus back into his heart, because he asked Jesus in his heart when he was 3. And the skit that was done last week, he watched. And so he said, oh, Mom, here, I'll just do this. He went like this, opened his hand, closed his hand, put it back down. And I said, what are you doing? And he says, I'm giving Jesus my heart, asking him to be sit on the throne, and he's coming back into my heart. And, you know, I thought to myself, wow, how amazing is that? That was so childish, but so pure. And so I just thank God for that, and he is working through this whole thing. He's working. So I praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Teresa, that's good.
An interesting thing happened this week. I was in the van with Rose, and Rose was talking about how she wanted to go to heaven. And I said, well, to go to heaven, you need Jesus into your heart. And she says, okay, I want Jesus in my heart. And so she said a little prayer with me.
Thank you, Lord.
Good morning. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Stan, he understand I am not good speak English, but zero. I say some people here in downtown is empty in myself, but we can change if you love Jesus, if you I keep Jesus in myself. Yes, that's true. If I love my life, if I love any people, if I love the Bible, what in the Bible, if I know I'm straight, no wrong. And some people, because it's empty, he need work, anything is not good, not very good. But we can say about every people is not good, that's not good. You can change, you can love Jesus. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Thank you.
No, I'm thankful to God for his that he walks with me when emotionally I'm not capable. When I'm discouraged, he gives me place to walk away from this discouragement. When I'm depressed, he's there with me to come out of it. When I'm lonely, he talks to me. When I'm fragile, he makes me strong. When I need friends, he brings them. When I need to be strengthened, he tells me he loves me. He's with me. And we go in places in our emotional realm where we can depart. That's why people are addicted. Emotionally, there's a time where they felt like they needed to go for a drink, and they went. There was the wrong time to go, and then they fall. into this addiction. I often go there when I feel like going for a drink, but I have this wisdom from God, and he says, no, now would be the wrong time to go. Just wait until the desire goes away, and then you'll be free to go. So that's God's wisdom. He helps me live. Often, if it was not for him, I would stay in despair. I would stay in depression, and depression would be me. You know, a lot of you don't know that about me, but we're all there a little bit. We all have that at different times, different places. So I'm thankful for Jesus, for he's real. He's a person. He talks. I have his Holy Ghost. Man, I have a headache. Holy smokes. Anyways, yeah, pray for me. I have the spirit of, I'm often sick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that for those that don't know you, that you would come to know you real, Father, that you would walk with them and walk with you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Lord God, just touch his body.
Yeah, right now, Jesus.
Lord, we just ask for your presence to be here and to fill
him.
Because his presence fills
peace,
God. You take away any of that. We thank you for his life.
Oh, yes.
Thank you that he speaks the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you that you've drawn him to
us, Jesus.
And we know that he's healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. I don't even know where to start. I have a God who can see me wherever I'm at, who can pick me up wherever I'm at, even if I'm falling flat. I want to praise God's healing, his healing power. It's physical, it's emotional, it is spiritual. And yes, I want to thank God for his gift of faith. And yeah, all the little things that people in the grand scheme can minimize and flip away. But he sees every little bit, and every little bit matters to him. And so he'll pick it up. Sometimes he'll dust me off. It's not always pleasant. But he picks me up and puts me back where I'm supposed to be. And that's a difficult journey. But he's with me all the way.
Yes, it's been set on October 19th. It'll be 7 years since I brought Jesus into my heart. And that's just, since then, he's given me housing. He's brought my children, my grandchildren back into my family. He's provided me with a job, and he's just given me the courage. I had a court system had something over me for all those years, all those 7 years, and it was holding me down. And he gave me the courage to reach out to Stan in his ministry, and he helped me with it, and it's gone. I've been released. I have to thank Jesus for that, and I think he sees me as 7 years old, and so I got a long life with him. Amen.
I don't know what Sunday it was that that guy came up and said, I bet you stand kids stand, look that way, and point and say, this is where this person's sitting. And I noticed today that a bunch of you guys started to move around. So it wasn't so predictable. Anyway, I wanted to share a couple things about my son. Nothing about him wanting to give his life to God, but there is a seed plant and he's hungry. Because one day we were walking and started to drizzle and he goes, look, rain. Or I don't know what he said, wet or something. And I go, and he looks at me and goes, how'd you do that? I didn't do it. It was God. It's him watering the earth. And then last night I was outside having a smoke. But I'm trying to quit. I'm getting there. Anyway, he comes outside and he goes, look, no light. What did you do? No, honey, it's not me. It's the sun went down for a nap. Like, you're supposed to be down for a sleep. It's so funny. And then Iris came over, and he thought it was Daddy. So he goes, Daddy. And I go, no, it's not Daddy. Jesus? No, it's not Jesus. And then the other day, another time, we were at the we were going to the park just behind the building there. And there was a man there. He just had his backpack there, and he was kind of passed out, like sleeping or whatever. And we're walking towards the park, and my son goes, look, Jesus, Jesus. I said, no, no, honey, that's not Jesus. But it's just, I just wanted to share, because God is working through a two-year-old, and it's so sweet.
Can you just say a word or two about Don and how he's doing?
He's in Calgary Correctional. He's actually having a bit of a rough time. I put some money in his account, and to forget a canteen, because in the remand all he gets is like a bar of soap, and so he has to buy everything else, or he gets toothpaste and a toothbrush, so he has to buy everything else, like his soap and everything else. So when he got transferred to Calgary on his sentencing was on Tuesday, and then he went there on Thursday, and his money wasn't transferred into his canteen, and so he has gone without, and the meals are a bit better there, but he still needs Heather stuff, because he's like stinking. But anyways, he did say he's reading the Bible, but he's having a hard time understanding it, but he'll read it over and over. So he's asked me to send him some glasses so he can see better, but he needs to understand the Word of God, and that God loves him, and not to accept condemnation, because he's now given his life to the Lord, so there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the devil's lying to him, and there was a guy that claimed he was from church and said, or from God or whatever, and said that you can't fight, that this is where your life is, this is where you're going to spend the rest of your life in jail, kind of thing. And so it just really discouraged Don. But if anybody wants to write to him, I have his address, and to encourage him, because he would really appreciate that. He loves you guys. He says he prays for the church all the time. He prays for people that have come or been here and gone away and want to come back. Or not that they need to be at this particular building, because the church is us, the people, right? And but he's a lot calmer now, I've noticed, and he's, you know, God's working in his heart. He's softening him and stuff, so, and he's been offered a couple times to get, he was a drug addict, that's why he was in there. Well, he was in a speed chase, whatever, and he was on a lot of drugs, and the amount of drugs that he was on, he would have killed 3 people. And so, anyways, he was offered a couple times by a few different guys for, to get hooked up with some drugs, and he politely declined, saying that no, this has messed up my life enough. I do not want any part of it. My family and my children mean more to me than that. So the men, in response, said to them, cool, I respect that. So there's no more pressure. He's kind of been in jail for a long time, so he's got he knows a lot of guys in there and stuff, so they kind of know what he's like. So they're not going to pressure him. Anyways, praise the Lord.
Now we know better how to pray for Donnie. So one more, and then I'm going to ask Jerry to lead us in prayer and just pray for the word. And there's a lot of needs here today, Jerry, and I know you're probably discerning that too. Just remember the needs and the hurts and the hard things that are going on in some of our lives. Danielle.
I guess I just want to say that I'm really thankful that that when we constantly fail God, his grace never changes. And when I turn myself away from him, and his forgiveness never changes as well. It's always there. It's always the same. And I guess I just want some people to know here that it is true. His grace never changes. And when I fall, his grace picks me back up. And I'm really thankful for that.
Wow. Amen. Thank you.
Yes, as I listened to everybody, this was a time to give thanks for Christ in our lives, for what he's done, for what he's doing, and, you know, we all need that all the time. And there's a lot of encouragement happens here for those who spoke. I'm sure you're encouraged, and if you're not, you should be, because people care for you here, each and every one. and the needs are many. And if we list them, we're going to be here for a long time. But one thing we do need all the time is to be led by the Holy Spirit and be thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit that's been given everyone who believes. I went through a couple of times of being ill with a severe bellyache, and I was in hospital, and I said, what am I supposed to learn here, Lord, because this is most unpleasant. I'll have some more morphine, please. And as I prayed that prayer, this is a scripture I got from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. So thankful all the time. Each and every one of us should be, and I know many of you are. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. We thank you and ask your blessing on each one who shared this morning. Father, may the desires of their heart in you be fulfilled, Lord God, and grant them that peace that comes from Jesus, peace that passes all understanding. We thank you and give the praise and glory to you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You know, there's so much to thank God for, and once you start that exercise and we start doing it, I know we could keep going on. I understand that, and I know that it's almost, you know, there's more hands as we get going, not less hands, because we start to get reminded from what other people have said about what's going on in our lives. We go, yeah, that's right, God is good, or he has been faithful, or he has answered my prayers, or, you know, this or this or this, and those are all such important things to do, that we just continue to thank God. It's so easy to grumble, just like the Israelites, just like, you know, when they traveled through the deserts, they mumbled and they grumbled and they found everything wrong. It was easy. It's not hard to find, you know, everything wrong with what's going on around here or anywhere else. It's not hard to do that. It takes effort to keep God central in our lives. We say, I'm thanking you. I am choosing to worship you today. I'm going to keep the name of Jesus front and center in my life. I'm going to remember today that this is the day the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and I will be glad. Amen? Yeah. And you know, the reality is when we do that and we start living in gratitude, we just immerse ourselves in gratitude, we start to walk more in the Holy Spirit. We start to experience more of the power that God has in store for us. We live with a deeper joy than we've ever had before when we learn to speak in gratitude terms. You understand what I mean by that? Just to be grateful. Just to live with thankfulness in our hearts. One last thing before I open up God's Word here. I just want to remind you that next Sunday we're having baptism, and there's a few people that want to be baptized. We're looking forward to that. I know it's going to snow tomorrow. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, and you know, it's supposed to be nicer by next weekend, but really, this is not about temperature. This is about giving your lives to Christ and being washed, you know, and if it's cold, you'll remember it better. I just encourage you, you know, spend some time with God and ask him about whether it's time for that to happen in your life. Maybe it's time for you to be washed in the river and experience the cleansing that happens from that. It's going to be a great celebration. And we're going to come here next Sunday. We're going to sing some songs and worship. We're going to hear some testimonies. And we're going to walk from here to the river. And we're going to get in the river. And we're going to see some people get baptized. And like I said last Sunday, baptism is a life-changing event. And really, I think it's intended to be that. That's what, if you read the New Testament, it is a repentance. It's a baptism of repentance. And it is life-changing. It's not just a ritual. It's not just some religious thing that you're doing. This is you getting in the water saying, I need the complete blood of Jesus. I just need the blood of Jesus to wash me completely clean. And you are invited. I want you to hear this clearly today. You are invited to be a part of this. It's perhaps time for your life to have that radical change in it. And Jesus said, if you repent and you be baptized, everyone, that's what we read earlier, right? In God's word says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, everyone will be saved. Amen? This morning we read in Acts chapter 2, and I'm not going to make any apologies today for the fact that we're looking at this same verse, really. It's only one verse. We've been looking at the same verse for 4 or 5 weeks. No apologies. It's just what it is, okay? There's so much in here, I'm not going to apologize that we're going to get into it even deeper again. And I know sometimes it's easier to hear a pastor preach and in one of these sermons where this reminds me of this sermon. You know, you start here, you go, well, this reminds me of this. Oh, and this reminds me of this, and this reminds me of this, and now we're done. Amen. That's just not the way I usually preach. I want to get into this. I want us to understand. This is such an important event, this event of Pentecost. This is so pivotal to the life of the church, but also to my own life. I need to know what this means, that the Holy Spirit came and that I can avail myself of the power of the Spirit. I need to know what that means. And it isn't time to jump on to something else yet. We need to know this more, and we need to be willing to dig deeper, even when it sometimes is painful to do that. So, again, we read these verses from Acts chapter 2, verse 36. It's the last part. It's the last part of Peter's message as he preaches after Pentecost, after the Spirit was poured out. And this is what he says. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number on that day. Isn't that amazing? About 3,000 were added on to their number that day. Yeah, it was quite a sermon, quite a preacher. You know, he must have just proclaimed. And you know, we get the sense that that's how the Holy Spirit was moving on that day. And that it's the same Holy Spirit today. Same Holy Spirit who moves and who penetrates our hearts and who softens us and who prepares us for what we need to hear, because God's Word is living and active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. What I like about and what I want to focus today on is that there's a promise involved here that we need to be aware of. That he says that they repented and they were baptized and they received the Holy Spirit. And that the promise, he said, and let's focus on this today, just this part. He says, and the promise is to you. It's a promise that God makes. The promise is to you and to your children and to those who are far off. There's a promise. This isn't just a suggestion that God makes. It's not a proposal that he makes. You know what? I'm going to make a proposal today that maybe you do this and then we can do this and then we can do that. This is not a proposal. It's not a suggestion. It is a promise. And when God makes a promise, he keeps his promise. He's been doing that from the very beginning. He's a faithful God, and he's a God who is a God of many promises, but he's a God who keeps his promise. He's made promises to you, and if you read the scriptures, they're full of promises, and it shows you how personal he is when you read that. He write to you, he says, this is my promise. I know you and I have had a discussion before that sometimes we can claim those promises. We read something in God's Word, and we go, wow, now that's God. He's speaking to me. I know this is what he wants me to listen to today. That's the kind of God that we worship today. That's why we're grateful, because he makes promises that he keeps. And one of the promises that he makes to us today is he says, you will receive the Holy Spirit. It's just going to be happening. It's the gift that will be yours. The promise that he's talking about is the promise of the Holy Spirit. And you don't need to conjure the Holy Spirit up. You don't need to jump around a circle and cut yourself and try to make this happen. There is nothing you can do but receive the promise. There's a promise that God is offering, and that promise is the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's just up to us to receive it, right? Are you ready to receive it? Are you going to be open before God and not have all those preconceived ideas saying, well, yeah, I want the Holy Spirit, but I want that Holy Spirit, or I want it to look like this, or I want him to act like this. No, are you going to just be open and receive the promise? Because he's a God of promise, and he makes that promise to us today that you will receive the Holy Spirit, and that this promise is for you and your children and for those who are far off. Let's spend a little time just, you know, thinking about that. The promise is for you personally, first of all. You need to accept it yourself. You need to respond to the promise. When God says, I promise that I will live inside of you and I will pour out my Spirit into your life, then there's a point in our lives where we need to stand there and go, okay, God, I will receive that. I accept that. That's the part of it that we play. You'll notice that the 3,000 people who became Christian on that day and they were baptized, it says very clearly that they accepted the message. It was the part that they had to play. They accepted the message and they were added to their number on that day. We need to accept the message. The promise that God has is a promise to me, first of all, personally. He promises Lynn or Stan or Terry or whoever you are, he says, I am your God. You get that? I still have a covenant with you. I am promising you I will always be with you. Here's my promise, Terry. I'm going to save you from yourself and from your sin and from the horror of the life you've lived. I'm going to save you. Here's my promise to you. I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit into your life. And you can be sure of this, that I will keep my word. Yeah. We kind of like that. Yeah, that's kind of okay. So it's a promise, he says, to you is what the first thing. Here's a promise to you that God makes. I don't know if we get that. You know, I think it's more than just this. It's, you know, it's a promise to you. I love you and I know you by name. You are precious to me. I understand everything about you. And my promise to you is that I'm going to endow you. I'm going to empower you with the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and he says, and guess what? And the reason why he goes on is because one of the things that was being asked in the early church of the new converts, they were asking this question, well, what about my loved ones? Which is a pretty natural question, right? I'm saved. I've received the Pentecost Spirit. But what about my children? And what about my loved ones? What's going to happen to them? Because really, I want to share this. And we can understand this, right? We want to share this with our children. Well, that was the same natural question that they were asking. And so Peter, when he preaches this, he says, here's the deal. The promise from God is for you, but it's also for your children. And we need to just stop and understand that today, because this is a very precious promise. This is a very important thing that God says. He says, I got a promise for you, Ricky, but here's something even better. I got a promise for your children and for your grandchildren and for your great-grandchildren. For the promise is for you and for your children. Isn't that good? He makes a promise to my children. You know, there's something amazingly important. I'm trying to think of the right word. There's a great treasure, and not all of us have had this, there's a great treasure when you are raised by parents of faith. You got a mom and a dad who knew Jesus or who knows Jesus, and you were raised in that home, man, I hope you're grateful for that, because that is a treasure that you just don't get anywhere else. And there's a lot of you who didn't have that benefit. I had that benefit. I realize it. I know that I was blessed to be in a home where my mom and my dad both prayed. I remember listening to them. I remember being in the bedroom. I could hear them at night. I could hear my dad say, let's pray, Jenny. I remember that to this day. I remember my dad praying for me. Even though we fought like cats and dogs, and there's lots of things that, you know, I didn't agree with him, my dad prayed for me. And I guess I'm just saying, there's a real blessing when you have parents of faith. There really is a real blessing. And that there's a promise that God is a covenant God, and he keeps his covenant promises. And it goes all the way back to Abraham, when God made a promise to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations, and you will have more children than the sand on the sea or in the stars in the heaven. You can't count them all. That's how many you're going to have, and they're going to belong. Those children are going to belong to you. And here's the promise, he says. I'm going to be a God to those children. I am a God to Toby and Toby. All the Tobes, every one of them. I am a God to your children, and I am going to be with you. Do you get that? He says, because I make this promise to your children, here's what you can stand on and be sure about it. I am going to be with them. I am going to speak their name. I am going to remember them, and I will never, ever abandon them. And here's the advantage your children are going to have. They are going to have the opportunity to hear the call over and over and over again. The call to know me. The call to believe in me. The call to repent. They're still going to have to accept that call themselves. You'll never be able to do that for them. But here's the privilege. Here's the inheritance that they get. It's a spiritual inheritance because of your faith. Is they're going to hear the call over and over again to come to me. They're going to be raised. Listen, what a treasure this is. They are going to be raised to know me and to believe me without a doubt. You were raised that way, didn't you? You know that? You were raised, you were taught from the very, very young age that this is true. In the beginning, God. That's what you were taught. I know that's what your dad taught you. I know that's what your mom taught you. In the beginning, God, period. No question, no doubt about it. There's a God. And you were raised, and you were taught that he loves you, and that he created everything that is, and that you belong. You belong to the Father through Jesus. You were taught that. You know, what an amazing treasure. You are so blessed. Right? Your children are so blessed. Your children, you know, your daughter, so blessed because you are raising her to know that she is Jesus' child. You understand that? Are we getting this? That this is the promise. It's a promise to you, but it's a promise to your children. And that's true even if you can't be with your children. And I know you can't always be with your children, and you'd love to be. There's still a promise, babe, that God is God to you, and he's a God to those little girls and that little boy because he loves them. Amen. You get that? Wow. He's a covenant God. He says, my faithfulness will go from generation to generation. And as Christians, you see, we have this huge privilege then to be able to pass on the baton of faith. We can pass it on to the next generation, and they can take it, and they can run with it and say, I have Jesus in my life, and I am going to follow Christ. And like I said before, they need to make that decision. Just like the 3,000, they had to accept the message. My sons need to accept that message. I cannot accept it for them, but I can show them. And I mean, here's the tricky part, and probably the daunting part of this, is they're watching us. Our children are watching us, and they're going to see whether this is real in our lives. Is this really genuine? Is Dad's faith really genuine, or is this just some big show? But know this, that when it's real, it gets passed on as real to the next generation, to the third and to the fourth generation of those who love me and who keep my commandments. Amen? So here, the promise is for those who are close, is really what he's saying. Your close ones, the ones that you really care about, your those little children and the grandchildren, you know, here's a promise for you, that I will be their God. Just know that. And that just has to be good enough. Trust me. Trust me, Mary. I am a God to those little girls. Yeah. The second thing he says is kind of a little different. Because this is sort of him saying, I will be a God. Here's the promise. I'm making the promise to those who are close to you. The second thing he says, but I'm also going to make a promise to those who are far away. And this is the part of the promise that we almost never talk about. And I've heard this many, many times all through my life, talking about, you know, that God is faithful to me and to your children. And we never talk about, and to those who are far off. What do you mean, those who are far off? I will be faithful to those who are far off, is what God says. Let's talk about the far off ones for a while. Or, as we're going to talk about them today, the far off ones. Who are these Farhoffmans or Farhofstras? Or you can call them whatever you want. He says, he's not Dutch. Okay, so Farhoffman, I don't think that's a Dutch thing. Farhoffians, whatever. Listen to this. Just start with this with me. In Isaiah chapter 49, here's what God says in his word. He says, is it too small a thing for you to be my servant? He's talking to his people and to the nation of Israel. Is it too small a thing for you to for me to restore the tribes of Jacob and to bring back those of Israel that I have kept? Now listen, his I also will make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. That you may bring my salvation to the far-off places, is what he's talking about, right? And there's really two understandings or two meanings for the word, you know, far-offmans. One is, it's always the, it always refers, those who are far off, when they talk in the Bible, when it talks about those who are far off, it almost always is talking about the Gentiles. They're talking about the nations, talking about the people out there, the Persians and the and those who lived in Greece, and the Philistines, and those who lived all in the countryside. So when in the Old Testament, when the Bible talked about those who were far off, it was always those who were not Jews, okay? It was the Gentile nations. And what God's saying, he's saying, is I'm going to bring my salvation to the nations. I am going to bring the good news that I have come and I have died and I have paid the price. Not just for those of you who are the chosen people of Israel, but here's the great news of all Pentecost, is that the doors are wide open now, right? The doors are wide open, that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and that I have come so that they might be saved, and that those who are far, far off, they are included, even though they've never been included before. They are included. It's what Pentecost, you know, it's really the heart of Pentecost. It's about harvest. We talked about that before, and that Pentecost happened when the Jewish people were celebrating a particular religious feast called the Feast of Weeks, or another name for that was the Feast of Harvest. They celebrated the harvest, kind of like what we would do at Thanksgiving Day, right? So it was their sort of their Thanksgiving Day, and they were celebrating the great harvest that was coming in, and now God is saying, guess what? All of those who are far off, those who are far, far away, they're included in my kingdom. For God so loved the world, right? For God so loved the world, not just God so loved a few tribes. No, for God so loved, Jesus came because he loved the whole world. Jesus in Matthew 28, he said, you know, behold, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Go. Make disciples of what? Of all the nations, right? You get it? Make disciples of all the nations. Go to the far-off stras. Go to the far-off ones. Make disciples of all nations and baptize them, he says. Baptize and disciple them. Teach them all the things that I have shown you, right? In Acts chapter 1, and I can give you lots of examples of this. This is easy to verify. What I'm telling you today is truth. In Acts chapter 1, we're told that the disciples got together and they were praying for the power of Pentecost, the power of the Spirit to come. And then they were told, you know, Jesus appeared to them and he said to them, you will be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, but in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. Are you getting this? In Acts chapter 2, we're told that the words of Joel, the prophecy of Joel, was fulfilled when we're told that the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all nations, all people. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy, and your servants, both men and your women, are going to do, you know, going to foretell things, and your old men will dream dreams. You get that, Jerry? Start dreaming. Wake up. No. Right? Your old men are going to dream dreams. Your young men are going to have visions. There's all this evidence. I'm just making a point. This is what God's word is saying. There's a far-off people that God has made a promise to, and someone needs to tell them. That's the message today. Someone needs to tell them. There's a promise that God made for you. God promised to be your God. just as surely, listen, if it's true for my children that God has promised me, he made this promise for me and for my children, it is just as certain that he made that promise for those who are far off. They're far off. But you know the problem? The problem is that both we and those who are far off believe the same thing. And that is that they don't have a hope in hell. And that's really the truth. They don't believe. Let me explain. Those people who are a speck on the horizon, those ones who are way far off, they're way gone, they're way out of the picture. They don't believe that there's any hope for them. If you would actually talk to them, they would say, you know, I understand all this Jesus talk, and I know what you're talking about with grace, and sure, nice words about promise, but it isn't for me. I am way past that. I'm beyond hope. You don't know my life, and you don't know what I've done. And I am so far away from God, I will never, ever be able to get right with God again. And there are a whole oodle. I don't know how many an oodle is, but there are a whole oodle of people like that out there. I'm telling you the truth. They don't feel worthy. They feel insignificant. They're just like that little speck. They're in the far-off ones. The far-offstras are way out in the back corner, and they don't believe, they really don't believe, they don't believe that they can be saved or there's any hope. And they live in the buffalo, and they live in the streets and in the corners, and they run with the hell's angels. And you know what the rest of us say? And we maybe don't say this, but we live it. We go, yeah, not much hope for those guys. I'm going to focus on other people. I'm going to spend my time with Gaston because I think there's hope for him. But I don't think there's much hope for, you know, those people who are so, so far away. So really, we're saying the same thing if you think about it. They say there's no hope for me, and we say it the same thing. There's no hope for you. And yet, you know, God is such a God of hope. And it's just, we're so wrong in that. We need to start looking on the horizon more than we do. You understand? We need to start looking for that speck in the distance, for that person who we think doesn't have a hope in hell. He's never going to get out of that hole that he's in. We need to start ministering and loving and finding that person and telling them, there is the best news. You don't know this, but this is the best news you're ever going to hear, that God made a promise for you. You're far off. You feel far off? Good for you. I got good news for you. You were included. Back in Acts chapter 2, Peter included you. He said, those who are far off are the ones I'm going to save. Who are you? Who are you? And who am I? Who am I to say that God doesn't call them? Are you kidding me? Why are we believing that lie? Who are you and who am I to say that God wouldn't call them? The Bible says that the promise is to those who are far off, to all whom the Lord will call unto himself. The prodigal wasn't just a couple blocks away from home. He was a long ways. And here's the amazing thing about my God and your God, is that he is really good at saving the far off ones. Some of the best salvations he's ever incurred or he's ever granted are for people that you never, never would have expected. Right? Right? Hello. Yeah, well, I'm one of those too, right? He's a God who saves the unexpected. And we walk around going, well, you know, when everything lines up just right, I might share Christ. Or if I think that the heart of that person is soft, maybe I'll open the Bible or I'll share with him. But I'm not going to do it because, you know, not until that happens. Man, start looking further down the horizon and realize that God promises to those who are far off. The promises to those God is calling to himself. I would imagine that Peter would have thought himself to be a far-off one, a far-off man. When he was in the courtyard, and after he had denied Jesus three times, for the third time, and when he heard the rooster crow, He probably would say to you today, you know what? I was in that place. I was far off when I heard that rooster crow, and that's when my Jesus saved me. Or what about Paul? Paul, you know, the greatest missionary we have recorded in the scriptures. What about Saul? You know, he was persecuting Christians. He was killing them, doing the very same thing that some of these radical ISIS people are doing, right? And we go, and I've been reading about this week even, people go, well, those people are not redeemable. You know, they're Muslims and they're radicals. Let's just leave them to hell. Well, you know what? We need to pray. We do. We need to pray for them. We need to love them. They are so wrapped up in the darkness. They are so wrapped up in a wrong teaching. But do you think that God can't save them? You know, Amer, in your country, Iraq, tough country. Many Christians have left. More than half the Christians who used to live there, when you lived there, they're not there anymore. And there are many evil men, many people. Now, this has got to be hard, and I know it's hard for you. But here's what God's Word says, that there is still hope. There is still hope, even for those who persecute and for those who kill. In Isaiah, God asked this question. He said, is my arm really too short to save? Is it too short to save? No, no. I just want to challenge you today. Maybe there's someone in your life that you used to pray for or you used to have a burden for, and you no longer have a burden for that person anymore. You've relinquished them. You let them go. All right, God, no hope for this one. I'm going to spend my time with other people. Maybe it's even someone who's close to you, maybe a child or a grandchild, and you're not praying for them anymore because you think nothing's going to happen. Listen to me. It's time to start praying again. They don't believe, but they don't know. You know better. We need to muster up our faith. We need to put our faith together and to reach out with the good news that there's a promise that God has made to those who are far off. I want you to just listen to these words, this last thing from Ephesians. It is a good book, yeah. It's in the Bible. But just listen, here's what God says, and here's the promise, and here's the conviction that we need to leave with today. In Ephesians chapter 2, this is what God says. He says, you were separated from Christ. I'm reading Ephesians 2, whatever this verse is, 12. I know we're going to get to 13. You were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Without hope. You were without hope, he said, and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. You get that? Wow. You who once were far away, have been brought near because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then just later on, verse 19, he says, and consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as our cornerstone. Do you get the message? Do you hear it today? This is God's truth. This is why Pentecost and this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is such an important event in our lives. Because God, by His Holy Spirit, just keeps pouring into us. He continues to empower us, and He keeps reminding us that there's a harvest that needs to be harvested, and that the promise is for you, and it's for your children, and it's for those who are way, way out there. Even the ones that you think don't have a hope, they need to be told that they have great hope through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus. Let's pray. God, it's a good reminder. And we first just confess that our human nature, we write people off. We abandon them. We don't We don't think they have hope. We think they're bound for hell and there's nothing we can do about it. But this morning, we just want to stand on the promise of your word, Lord, and the promise that you made to them many, many years ago, that you will be a God to them, that they need to answer that call. They need to respond. Lord, we just pray. And right now, I know there may be some names that come to mind, or there's some people who we used to be really interested in them, and we wanted to see them turn their lives to you, but we've given up on them. And you challenge us right now to stop giving up, that we need to be faithful, and we need to trust your word today. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short. There are people in our lives that they need to be saved. They're wholly and completely lost without you. And that you have given us, you've equipped us to shine that light, to be a light that shines in the dark places. God, right now, I would just pray that you'll put someone in our hearts, someone that needs you, someone that we know deep inside of us, they need to surrender. They need to accept that message. And that you'll make it clear to us how we can be a part of that saving process. We are builders of the kingdom of God. And there are people who are lost. And some of that lostness is remaining because we're being quiet or because we're just not using the power that you give us, Lord. You've come for the sole purpose of saving. The Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. So we want to see that, Jesus. We want to see more and more on their knees before you. Thank you that it's such a great covenant promise. And it's for you and your children, but it's also for those who are far off. God, do your powerful saving work. And change our attitudes, because that's really what this prayer is. Change our minds. Give us hope where we think there is no hope. Help us to see that even though they're running with the hell's angels, or they're living in a buffalo, or they're hanging on the streets, or they're drug dealers, or all the things that make them losers and hopeless, that you don't see them that way at all. That you just see them as your sons and daughters, and you're just waiting for that time for them to acknowledge you. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray that you will fill this place with those people that you call. That this will be a place, Lord, where they can come and they can call on the name of the Lord and they can be saved. And God, if that's not where our hearts are, and if our hearts don't line up with yours, then shut the doors. We don't need, what we do need is just to be obedient. And we believe you today when you say that on the basis of our obedience and the basis of our faith, you will continue to offer that call, the gospel call. You will continue to offer it to all those. Stir that in our hearts.